We are going to be in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 tonight. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Let me share with you a card that we received this evening. It says, "Your kindness made a difference, and your thoughtfulness touched my heart. Thank you. There are no words to express what my family at Lakeview means to me. I love and appreciate each of you dearly. Thank you from my heart. Please continue to pray for me and our family as we continue to trust our Lord." And that's from Peggy Galloway. So continue to remember Miss Peggy in your prayers. The Lord would strengthen and guide and help as He has been faithful to do. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. I want to pray, and then I want to read these texts. I want to read the texts that we've looked at so far in this series on the name of Jesus. And then I want to preach from Isaiah 7:14 tonight, if the Lord will help. Let me read these texts and then the text that we're going to deal with tonight, and then we'll pray and then we'll preach. Philippians 2:9. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Acts 4:10. "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Romans 10:12 and 13. "For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." John 4:13. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Acts 3:16. "For his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Matthew 1:21. "And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And then tonight, Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." That's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful and thankful that you have been so good and kind to us. You have blessed us, and you have kept us and protected us. And God, we are grateful and thankful for your ever-present hand on our lives. Thank you for the privilege to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ again tonight to hear your word. We pray, God, that you would allow us to worship you in spirit and in truth tonight. May you focus our hearts on the magnificence of the birth of Christ, the reason that he came, and help us to understand the implications, the great implications for us of this Christmas truth. Help us to be always glorifying and praising you for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord Himself shall give you a sign. And this is a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That is a great Old Testament promise and prophetic utterance. Now, I want us to sort of look at it a little bit closer tonight from the aspect of faith. There is a sign which involves faith. And I want us to look at Christmas faith tonight from three different vantage points. The first is the setting of this Christmas faith. The setting of this Christmas faith. Or we could say the context in which this verse is found. Always you want to find the context. So in Isaiah chapter number 7, the passage that we just read, the people of God are in big trouble. Their future looks very bleak. And in the midst of their trouble-filled life, God gives a sign, a great sign of hope. And this is not superficial hope. This is real hope. This is not hope that will just make you feel better. This is actual hope. He tells them that a virgin will conceive and bear a son and will call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. So what I'm trying to get you to see initially here is that this text, that certainly is a Christmas text, doesn't belong among the lights and the tinsel and the ornaments. It is not intended to distract us for a little while from the dreariness and the drudgery of life in this world. No, this Christmas text is ground in the need of God's people who are frightened, hurting, and need hope and joy. And it is people both in Isaiah's day and it is us today. We live in a day in which there is great fear. We live in a day in which there is much hurting, trouble going on. And what we need is hope and joy. And God says, okay, I'll give you hope and joy. Here it is. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and it will be God with you. So the context here in Isaiah is that God's people, the nation of Israel, has divided up into two kingdoms. There is a southern kingdom known as Judah. Ahaz, the descendant of King David, is ruling over that kingdom. And to the north, the northern kingdom, Pekah, the son of Remali, rules the kingdom that was called Israel. And as you can imagine, when these two kingdoms divided, their military might has been severely diminished. And not only that, but all around them are countries who threaten them militarily, especially the Assyrians. So in order to help secure defense for itself, the northern kingdom decides that it will form a defensive alliance with the king of Syria. Now that seems like a smart thing to do. That seems like a prudent thing to do. But what we will see is that it was a decision that actually manifests the lack of faith in God. So the northern kingdom is in this alliance with Syria. The southern kingdom, King Ahaz, king of Judah, is now more vulnerable than ever. Not only can the northern kingdom now come against them, but also those outside are much more in a better position to come against them as well. So when Ahaz learns of the northern alliance, those plans to be with Syria, the Bible says that the heart of Ahaz and the people of his kingdom shook as trees of the forest shake in the wind. They are scared to death. They have had security removed from them. They don't know what tomorrow may hold. Their life may be gone tomorrow. They are literally shaking in their shoes. The whole nation is in turmoil. They are panicking over this northern alliance. And I don't think I would be overestimating things to say that things to them seemed as bleak as they could be. Everyone full of fear for the future, expecting attack from the northern alliance or from some other near country at any moment. And they knew they did not have the necessary strength. It is in this context, it is in this fear-filled context that God comes and speaks. And God speaks to His people through His prophet Isaiah. And what God wants to do for Ahaz is the same thing that God actually wants to do for us. He wants to teach Ahaz and He wants to teach His people that their confidence, even in fearful circumstances such as this, has to rest fully in the Lord and not in any earthly political alliance or maneuver. You see, the people of the northern kingdom, they're not shaking in their boots because they have this alliance. But they're no more safe than the southern kingdom. Because their confidence is not in the Lord, their confidence is in what? The alliance. So what God is really saying is, He's not denying that there are enemies on every side. He's not denying that these are dangerous days. He's not denying that there is much for His people to be fearful over. But the message that He delivers is clear, isn't it? Do not be afraid. And don't be faint-hearted. Don't wither under the circumstances. Don't falter under the circumstances. Be firm. Don't falter. That's the message that Isaiah delivers to Ahaz. And what God is saying, I think, is that faith in God is the stable foundation for life. And if your faith is not in God, then whatever your faith is in is nothing but sinking sand. And Ahaz, if you fail to trust God here, you will fail ultimately and finally. So, this Christmas promise or prophecy is set not in happy times, not in wonderful times, not in festive times. It's set in very troubled times, very frightful times. And God says, you have to trust me. Number two. Not only do we see the setting of this Christmas faith, but secondly, we see the strengthening of this Christmas faith, or the strengthening that comes by Christmas faith. So this is what God does. I don't know why He does this, but He does it. God says to Ahaz through the prophet Isaiah, choose any sign that you want. Anything that will help your faith in me. Anything that would strengthen your faith in me. Anything that would cause you to believe in me. You name it, I'll do it. You with me? Anything. You name the sign, I'll do it. If it will bolster your faith, if it will cause you to trust in me, if it will cause you to rest in me and your people to rest in me, you name it, I'll do it. It is an extraordinary offer, an invitation on God's part. God is writing Ahaz a blank check. You name it. Fill in the amount. The only limit for Ahaz is what? His imagination. What an offer. Ahaz, you want me to write it in the sky? What do you want me to do? What miracle, what sign, what wonder can I do to prove to you that I'm worthy of your trust? But you know how Ahaz responds to that? Ahaz says, I'm not asking God for a sign. Ahaz says, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. And when you initially read that, you really think, now Ahaz is really a spiritual person. He's really pious here. He's not going to put the Lord to the test. But in reality, what Ahaz is doing here is he's using the language of Scripture to hide his unbelief. God said, ask me for a sign. And Ahaz says, I ain't asking for a sign. I'm not putting the Lord to the test. And here's the situation. It's not that Ahaz needs something to confirm and strengthen his faith. The problem is, Ahaz doesn't have any faith. Say amen. Ahaz doesn't have any faith. He doesn't have any faith at all. Ahaz doesn't believe a word that Isaiah has been saying to him, and he rejects God's offer to confirm and prove that God's promises are reliable after all. It's not that he needs something to strengthen his faith. No, Ahaz says, I'm not asking anything. You know why? Ahaz doesn't have any faith. And I just want to sort of remind you that unbelief can cloak itself in the language of Scripture when it needs to. There are people that come across so pious and so spiritual, and all they're doing is hiding their unbelief. And we can learn to use the Bible the way Ahaz uses it. Not to guide our faith, not to cause us to be obedient before God, but simply to disguise our unbelief. I had a guy that used to do that all the time. I would go to him and he'd say, the Lord knows my heart. Boy, that sounds so spiritual, doesn't it? That was just code for, I'm not going to be a church preacher. I ain't never come to church preacher. But the Lord knows my heart. It really is the effort to get people who are pressing us to back off or for us to avoid any accountability whatsoever. Bible jargon can be used to throw out a smokescreen. And you can come across sounding holy. Sometimes people can do that like a flip of a switch. You know the words, but it's just cover for a cold, dead heart that has been captive to fear and unbelief. That's exactly the situation in which Isaiah finds Ahaz. His heart is full of fear. His heart is full of unbelief. And so he refuses God's offer to name a sign to strengthen his faith because he has no faith to strengthen. And yet, here is the evidence of God's mercy and kindness toward sinners. Ahaz won't tell him the sign to perform. What does God do? Gives him a sign anyway. Gives him a sign anyway. You won't name a sign. You won't name a thing that I could do that would strengthen your faith. Well, let me give you the sign that should strengthen your faith. If you had faith to be strengthened. It wasn't the sign that Ahaz would have chosen, to be sure. But it is a sign that would speak a word of hope much greater than anything Ahaz might have imagined. So we come to that promise, that prophecy in verse number 14. When Ahaz refused to name a sign and refused to test the Lord, verse 14 says, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And what we know from last week when we looked at Matthew, Matthew quotes this passage and connects it, causes it to refer to the birth of Christ to the Virgin Mary. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. Jesus Christ is God with us. That's how Matthew took this verse and made application of it. So we have all these scholars who argue this verse had nothing to do with the birth of Christ. This verse has nothing to do. It is a promise given to Ahaz. It is a promise given to the people of Israel at that time. It has nothing to do with us today or the birth of Christ. And Matthew says, I beg your pardon, yes it does. Now, the birth of Jesus, the birth of this child is meant to function as a sign for Ahaz and the people of Israel. It is intended to strengthen faith. God's promise in the face of terrible situation in which Judah finds itself in those days, this promise is intended by God to strengthen their faith in Him. The question is, how can the birth of Jesus, more than 700 years after the fact, be any kind of sign for Ahaz and the people of God then? And here's how I would like to answer that question. I don't think that there is anything that can strengthen our faith more than the promise of God coming in the flesh to save our souls. I don't think anything can better comfort the fearful hearts. I don't think anything can help us with our dread of tomorrow. I don't think anything can still the waves of unbelief like God's Word casting our hearts and eyes upon Christ as He is birthed into this world. And that's exactly what God is doing. He is aiming to strengthen their faith by giving them a promise, by giving them a prophetic word that will not happen for 700 years. Now, I want you to hold on to that for a minute. Hold out your hand. Hold out your hand. I'll put that in your hand. This promise that will not happen for 700 years is intended to give their faith strength at that point. Not 700 years in the future, but as God gives the promise. Are you with me? So, God directs their attention away from their circumstances. God directs their attention away from their troubles. God directs their attention away from their enemies, away from their lack of security, away from their lack of strength, and He sets their attention on Jesus Christ. And He says, hard days are coming. But even those hard days, even those difficult things, even the heartaches that you will experience, all of them are going to work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. You with me? And what we see 700 years later, we see this miracle that is prophesied by Isaiah to Ahaz. We see this miracle on a census day as people travel from all over the world to Bethlehem, even from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And there is that day a virgin who is with child, and she is going to bring forth a son, and he will be called the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. He will be the Word made flesh, and He will dwell with us. He will be Emmanuel. He will be God Himself in the midst of His people. And He will save His people. He will save His people, not with a temporary rescue from earthly trials. No, 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 no. God is going to provide something more wonderful than rescue from temporary trials. You see, that's what Ahaz is worried about. Safety, earthly safety. But there is a deeper deliverance that Ahaz needs. There is a deeper deliverance that the people of God needs. There's a deeper deliverance that you and I need. And that deliverance cannot be found in alliances with Syria. It can only be found in the child who is to come, in the fullness of time, born of a virgin, who is Emmanuel, God with us, in the person of Jesus Christ. Number three, the significance of Christmas faith. You still holding that in your hand? You got it? Here's the lesson we need to learn and relearn this Christmas. The message that we are celebrating at this time of the year is not a message that God is going to rescue us from all trouble. It's not. That's not what God was telling Ahaz. If God had told Ahaz that, then Ahaz might have been right to doubt it. Let me help you. Never, ever, ever trust anyone who tells you that God is in the business of making you happy, healthy, and prosperous. Never trust anyone who tells you that prosperity and health and wealth and happiness is the gospel. It is not. No, God's promise is not that everything is going to be good. I can't wait for 2020 to be over. It has been a nightmare. But I have no evidence that 2021 is going to be even any better. It may be worse. I don't have any promises from God's Word that God's going to make anything better. Matter of fact, the Bible says things are going to wax worse and worse. The promise is, no matter how bad things get in this life, God has done what is necessary to provide for your next life. You see, what was intended to strengthen the people of God's faith is not that God's going to come in and deliver them right now, but God is going to deliver them from their sins. That God is going to save their souls. That God is going to prepare for them a place in heaven where they can be with Him forever. And for those who really have faith, that will strengthen it. And for those who don't, it won't. You see, the promise is this: everything that we go through is working toward our good and His glory. So God doesn't promise deliverance from difficulty. If that's what you have to strengthen your faith, it's not in the Scriptures. God promises something greater than that. God promises something better than that. What good would it have done if God would have rescued Ahaz and the people of Judah from their temporal enemies and yet let them die and go to hell? No. God said, I'm going to do the greater. He has promised that He will sustain us through all difficulty. Say amen. He will deliver us from sin. He will deliver us from death. He will deliver us from hell. And He will deliver us to fellowship with Him and joy and peace with Him in every trial that He brings into our life. And He promises it to those who will put their confidence and their trust in so faith, true faith, Christmas faith, finds its only secure anchor in the child that is born of the Virgin. Faith can only be firm, true faith can only be strengthened when that faith is founded on Emmanuel. There may be dark days coming. There may be things tomorrow that will be more fearful than today. There may come a virus worse than COVID. It won't matter. because we have set our anchor deep in the immovable rock that is Jesus Christ. And no matter what comes our way, we can sing, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Still holding it? No promise that you won't get COVID. No promise that you will live another day. No promise it won't be you or I in the hospital next week. No promise. But we are still secure in Him. He has promised that He will save our souls through His gift of His Son. That's the message of Christmas. Not tinsel, not lights, not holiday music, not make-believe. It's not escape from difficult days. It is hope in Christ in the midst of difficult days. In the midst of it, it is assurance that although difficult days may come, in Jesus Christ we have confidence, a confidence that cannot be shaken and will not make us afraid. That's how you face difficult days. That's how you face difficult days with joy and with peace. You put your faith in Christ. And I am praying so hard that the Lord would help us this Christmas fix our eyes on Emmanuel, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God with us, that in Him and Him alone we might find hope to praise Him and glory in Him and His name no matter what. And all God's people said, Amen. No promise Ahaz that God is going to take your enemies away. You set your hope in the truth that a Savior is coming. And He will save His people. That's our hope. Not in temporary deliverances, but in spiritual deliverances in Christ. Amen? Let's pray.